Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Phase Zero, episode 20 starts now. Welcome to the MCU Show on comicbook.com. I'm your host, Brandon Davis, joined today by Charlie Ridgely.
What's up?
Charlie, you got to say something for the people who are listening.
I thought you were going to run through and I was just going to, you know, stay silent.
No.
Let you introduce everybody. Well, I'm here. Hello, everyone.
This is like just so all the people who don't see our beautiful faces right now when they're listening to us in podcast form, so they have a voice for the name. So let's try. Okay, so we're going to try it again. Phase Zero, episode 20. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brandon Davis, joined today by Charlie Ridgely.
What's up, everybody? How are you doing today, Brandon?
There's Charlie's voice, everybody. Keep that in mind throughout the rest of the show. Joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hi, everybody, and way to go, Charlie.
We love a rough start. It's good. And joined today by Aaron Perrine.
What's going on, BD? Rack 'em. Good to see you.
See, look at that. So that's how veterans do it, choo-choo Charlos. Okay. I'm just shaming Charlie. I have to, because this is Charlie's day. This is Charlie's big day, everybody. As many of you may remember, 2 weeks ago, we did a movie draft, and then I took a week off thinking, okay, you know what? Things will be fine. I'll take my vacation. I'll come back, and I'll feel good. And I came back, and I don't feel so good. We did a draft, and Charlie drafted very strongly. We knew it out of the gate, but I had hope that the Phase Zero listeners would come through for your boy. Turns out, they didn't. They voted for Charlie. I didn't count all the votes. I didn't have to count all the votes. It was so obviously a victory for Charlie. We did a poll on Twitter that counted the votes for us. Charlie won that one. And then it went on Instagram. There was a couple thousand comments on the graphic that showed the results. And Charlie won. Charlie, what were your movies you had? Avengers, Endgame, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Ragnarok, and Spider-Man Homecoming?
That is correct. That is the championship lineup. That is correct, Brandon Davis.
Listen.
I like to thank all the people out there and my mom for always believing in me. And I'd like to thank Taika Waititi and James Gunn specifically for making kick-ass Marvel movies. And the Russo brothers and John Watts for just not doing a bad job. And helping carry me to this victory. And I thank you guys for leaving me all the best movies to choose from. So thank y'all.
Well, congratulations, Charlie. You get a crisp high five virtually. That's your prize. And
or something like a trophy or something. I don't know.
I will block you on Twitter until our next draft because I don't want to hear about this ever again. Where is Jim Viscardi? Never heard of that dude. Who's Jim? I've been to the gym. What's Jim? Anyway, we have MCU news, lots of it to get through, so we're just going to jump in. This show today is a lot of news, a lot of updates, exciting stuff, and I think we just need to jump in with the big one. First of all, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is cast as Kraven the Hunter. Well, I mean, literally, like, I'm making this as a joke to reference Age of Ultron, but genuinely, I didn't see that coming. Like, right? Everybody was like Jason Momoa, Viggo Mortensen. Everybody had ideas for Kraven. I don't think anybody suggested Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Jenna, how are you feeling about this casting?
Yeah, it was completely out of left field, but it also makes perfect sense at the same time. I'm also just happy that we have this role cast because I was very sick of everyone just being like, Henry Cavill should play Kraven. And I was like, no, he's Superman. If he plays a Marvel role, it should probably be something else. But like, I think this is, it's unexpected, but it works really well. And I know like people are already speculating of like, they're casting this role right before they are theoretically doing reshoots for No Way Home. So it's like, could we maybe see him in there? Or is he just confined to his solo movie? Like, we don't know at this point.
It depends on who makes that decision. I feel like if Sony makes the decision, we'll see Venom, we'll see Morbius, and we'll see Kraven all before Spider-Man No Way Home comes to an end so that all of us go see those movies. But I don't know. I can see a post-credit scene happening. Aaron, how are you feeling about this?
I think it's really interesting, you know, because like Jenna said, the fan casting for this has been all over the map. Like every single famous guy that can grow that long hair has been pitched as a like alternative, right? And I see the chat. I know, Pedro, I know. It would have been cool. It really would have been cool. But I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see what's going on. I hope that this just doesn't mean that we get more of the movie like spoiled for us somehow through like photos or whatever beforehand. Cause that was my concern. I'm like, are we going to log on tomorrow? And is there going to be like a picture of him like in full costume, like stalking around and No Way Home? And I'll be like, just give us the script at this point. Like that Powerpuff Girls thing, if this is what you're going to do, Sony, like just give it to us all at once. You know,
that's like the only thing that makes me think he might not be in No Way Home is that if he was, like, we would know. We know pretty much everybody else who's in the movie. We would have probably seen a video by now of Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Or at least heard like rumblings of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, something would have. Charlie, what do you think of this casting?
I mean, it's a thing, you know? Like I'm way more interested in J.C. Shandor directing it than I am Aaron Taylor Johnson being in it. Aaron Taylor Johnson's a great actor. I actually really liked him in Tenet. As much as I had issues with Tenet, like he was very, very good in the part he played. And I think that he has needed another shot. Like with Quicksilver, he was great as the character and didn't really get a whole lot to do before dying. So I appreciate that he's going to get another chance to do this. And he brings a lot of like intensity to the role and a lot of like that, like subtle, like dark mystery type of thing. But J.C. Shandor is a really, really great director. He made Triple Frontier on Netflix a couple years ago, which if you all haven't watched Triple Frontier, it is a great, like, kind of dark and intense heist movie with Ben Affleck and Charlie Hunnam and Oscar Isaac.
And the fantastic Green Arrow.
It's a very good movie. So him doing this movie and the idea of like an actual kind of auteur type director taking on this superhero thing that's not a superhero thing that could be really grounded and be really like intense and very, I don't know what the way to put it, but like, I guess a thriller is kind of where you look at it. Like the way that Craven is as a character, cause you don't, he's not a hero and it's hard to paint him as one, but I think all of the characters in a movie like Triple Frontier, they're hard to root for individually. Their stories are easy to root for, but they all have their kind of, they all have their problems they're bringing to the table. And I think he can really balance that well and make it a fun, enjoyable movie about someone that you aren't necessarily like thinking is a good guy. You know, kind of that, not quite an anti-hero, but I don't know. I think JC coming to this movie is the most exciting part about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be interested. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to end up being a really good fit for this. I think he's a really good actor. You know, it's not a character, not an actor that we were naming beforehand, but I think it's interesting. And I think that, I mean, I naturally want to start thinking of multiverse possibilities. Like, is this going to be a thing where Wanda comes across Kraven the Hunter and is like, you're, and like, it's not him, but it's not Pietro, I mean. But I mean, I don't know. I genuinely, like, I'm starting to just get frustrated by this adjacent game that Sony is playing with their movies where it's all blurry enough, where Marvel Studios is not saying, no, it's not part of our universe. And Sony is not saying, like, yes, it is, but also, no, it's not not. I don't know. I just want some clarification. Are they connected? I mean, but
Sony's doing what the only thing that they can do. Like, they can only do so much with Spider-Man because of what Marvel has going on. And so they only have a certain roster of characters that they can use just to do whatever they want with. And I also, I mean, only some of those characters can carry a movie. Like, I really don't think Morbius is going to be a character that makes a successful movie, whether it's a good movie or not. I don't know. But in terms of the success of it, Venom is that character, obviously. There's only so many things they can do. And so if you're Sony, why would you be like, yeah, no, it's not connected to the MCU at all. And like miss out on the opportunity to make what like that money that you can. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the only option they really have.
They're making their movies. I get that. They're making the movies they can make. My only thing is they're playing with Venom. Nobody wants to say like definitively, this is not a part of the MCU.
Right, because if Sony does that, Morbius, then they potentially lose out on fans that would go see the movie because they like Marvel stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand why they're doing it. I still get annoyed by it. Like, it's a smart business play. I get that. You sell more tickets because you think you sell it as possibly part of the MCU, which is the biggest cinematic franchise in the world right now. My point is that it's annoying to not know.
Fair
point. Like, just, I just want to know, like, is this, are they connected? Are they not? It, like, same thing, same way I wanted to know with like Netflix shows. Are you guys going to incorporate this or not? But anyway, yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson is your Kraven the Hunter. If y'all want to talk more, hit us up on Twitter. We'll respond after the show. Tim Miller said, Deadpool does not need to be R-rated to be good. This is the quote. I think Ryan Reynolds' take on the character and the way he embraces the particular kind of insanity, even if you said he's not going to use four-letter words, would still be there. He still is that character. You can take R-rated parts out of it if you wanted, and it will still be Deadpool if Ryan is doing it. I have a take that everyone's going to hate. I already know. But I agree with Tim Miller. I think Deadpool can be good if not rated R. I think it would challenge a bit more creativity. I've laughed at PG-13 movies before. Do I want it to be PG-13, though? No. No, but I do know that everybody gets all pissy as soon as you say Deadpool can be PG-13. Guess what? Deadpool has appeared in so many Marvel comics with PG-13 or friendlier characters and still been an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool can go over to other MCU movies and kind of be toned down on that front and still have his R-rated solo movies. That's my take. I think Deadpool can still work in a PG-13 format. It would be different. I'm not going to say it would be better, but I'm not going to say it would be far like any worse. I don't know yet. But I do want solo movies to be R. I'd still watch them if they're PG-13. Anyway, does anybody firmly disagree? Does anybody think it has to be rated R?
I completely agree with you. I was going to say the same exact thing of like, we've had 30 years at this point of Deadpool comics that by and large cannot use the four letter words that he uses in the movies. So it's like, there are different ways to approach Deadpool's humor that aren't just resting on R-rated kind of comedy. Yes, I would make the argument probably that like the violence aspect is something that's inherently Deadpool, but you still can kind of push the boundary with PG-13 without really going that hard. But yeah, like there's enough Deadpool source material and there are enough examples of him being funny without having to just rely on swear words that I totally think it could work in a PG-13 context.
Yeah, like I want it to be rated R, but I don't think it is. I don't think the R rating is the hinge that makes Deadpool successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that first Reynolds Deadpool movie had to be rated R to become what it is now.
Yeah.
I think to launch that franchise, like the idea of this rated R superhero movie to really go just balls to the wall, all out, violent, like, you know, the language, everything, like full on what it has become. I think it's as big as it is because that first one was rated R. But I do agree, like going forward, it doesn't have to be. If it's a solo movie and they make it be PG-13 and there's no other characters and it's just a solo Deadpool thing, I think there's really funny ways to play with that of like bleeping him out and him hearing himself be bleeped out and him be self-aware of that and like make him mad.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense in another person's movie, but there are a million ways you can like have fun with that. And that character is the kind of character that you can always do weird things with and where it wouldn't work with any other character. With this one, it's like, oh, it's funny. There's so many ways around it. In these other movies, I would love to see another R-rated one because I think that they have the tone and style just down pat. But if they were to recast it, I don't know if I would be interested in it at all, no matter what the rating is.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, right? No. Now. I think that's more Tim Miller's point than anything else. That Deadpool is more dependent on Ryan Reynolds than it is any MPAA rating, and I agree with that. I think the R rating gives it so much more freedom. I think you make a great point that the first movie would not have been successful if not for that R rating. I think it came out at a time when superhero movies were super crowded and the R rating made it unique and it really made it stand out because of it was what it was doing, how drastically different it was from other Marvel films, and it was doing them all well and making good use of them. But yeah, I still think you could have Deadpool be in a PG-13 movie and, It'll be interesting.
I think we'd all agree if Ryan Reynolds Deadpool's in something, we're going to watch it Yes. Regardless of the rating.
Yeah.
Make it a G rating. That would, I'd be all about Ryan Reynolds Deadpool in a G rating. Cause what does that even look like?
That would be hilarious. I would want to see that. Yeah.
It would be like, you'd have to make a joke about him, like literally walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Like let him,
Aaron, you know. Aaron has thoughts. I could see Aaron's face has some thoughts.
I was just saying that, like, thinking about, like, do you guys, anybody here like Adult Swim at all? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the April Fool's joke this year where they did the Adult Swim babies?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And they had little kids re-record the dialogue without the cursing, without the profanity and weird stuff in it, and it was still uh-huh. really, really, really funny. Yeah. Like, Ryan Reynolds could do anything in the same vein where if you took the stuff out and lampshaded it correctly, it would be hilarious, you know?
Well, and for me, it's like the writers of Deadpool 3 are two of the writers and showrunners of Bob's Burgers. And it's their level of comedy and the way that they can tell jokes that have a little bit of bite to them, but are still very like PG and sort of family friendly and not like too profane in one way or another. It's like, I trust them to write a really interesting Deadpool thing because I feel like their humor and Deadpool's humor in the comics kind of overlap in a really interesting way. So it's like, I think that that could be interesting in and of itself, of like approaching Deadpool's humor not so much in like kind of cheap jokes, but in this way that is like, this is stuff that's genuinely funny and it just happens to be PG-13.
But yeah, he's such a great slapstick character.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mark Davies in the Facebook comment section says, asking Deadpool not to use profanity is like asking Wolverine not to use his claws. I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree. I see the point you're trying to make, Mark, but I just think Deadpool has more to offer than foul language. He can still be humorous and make edgy, kind of push the envelope jokes. Listen, I think we're all on the same page.
His trademark is his style of humor, not his words he uses.
I think we're all on the same page. At the end of the day, we think Deadpool being R-rated makes it, for as long as they're creative, that's probably for the best. Is if they have all that freedom, I just don't think that a PG-13 version of Deadpool ruins the character. I don't think that. I think as long as you have Reynolds, you're good. Anyway, next bit. Emma Stone, quote, "I have heard those rumors," she said in an interview with Inverse about Spider-Man No Way Home. Quote, "I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, but I'm not. I don't know what you're supposed to respond to as an alumnus." She is not in Spider-Man No Way Home. Gwen Stacy is not back for this movie. Anybody? No one? No one got that? Wow. Yeah, well.
Her back, bro.
They dropped her from this movie. So she couldn't catch the role.
Well, she pulled a Black Widow.
Wow. Wow. We're wrong for that. I actually would like to see Gwen Stacy return, especially if Andrew Garfield is back, which we pretty sure he is. I would love to see Emma Stone play this part again. And maybe take on like a heroic role. I think that'd be so dope. I think Emma Stone is a really good actress. And I think it'd be fun to have her back. Jenna, I think thoughts?
Very cool. Jenna, go ahead. I'm
conflicted. I really want her in the movie and I think that it would be great. My one thing is like, as much as I would like to see her as Spider-Gwen, I feel like that then that would be kind of the live action Spider-Gwen going forward. And I feel like there's an interpretation of that character that could exist that is younger and kind of leans into the story that she has in the comics of like, I'm a college student in a band and I'm dealing with this alternate reality. And so I would personally want to just see Emma Stone be the amazing Spider-Man versus Gwen Stacy, because I feel like the death notwithstanding, there's still so much that is unexplored there that I feel like they could really kind of like wrap up in a bow. And then, so you do that and then you do eventually have somebody else come in and actually play Spider-Gwen.
I'm into that. I take back all my comments. I take it all back because that's a much better point than the one I made.
I would die for Spider-Gwen. So yeah, the idea of her appearing in live action is very precious to me. So
it seems inevitable.
If they're going full multiverse, there's a way to, I think, to do both.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want Emma Stone in this movie. It's like, oh, we resurrected Gwen. It's like, no, like let her be in a suit and fight. That's awesome. Yeah. But I agree with what you're saying, Jenna. Like, it is a character with so much space for story that you're not going to get Emma Stone. Even if you do an older version of Spider-Gwen, Emma Stone's not signing on for five movies as Spider-Gwen. Like that's not at this point in her career.
Yeah.
That's not what she's doing.
Well, my question
is, I don't know why she wouldn't.
And there's so much of Spider-Gwen that's just kind of tied to like her age. And so I feel like you really would need a younger actress of like, we haven't really gotten to the point in the comics where Spider-Gwen is like the age that Emma Stone is now and kind of what that looks like. Whereas like we really just kind of have her like as a young adult. So I'm like, just bring in another actress.
She's in Hawkeye now, so, but when they cast Spider-Verse, Hailee Steinfeld was right at the right age, and like
exactly,
she could have been a great Spider-Gwen live action. But I mean, she's obviously, she does a great
job. Evans Larson's in the Twitch comments section. Jenna, you're not going to lose points if you don't have an answer ready for this. But who's your fan cast for Spider-Gwen?
At a certain point, it's been Dove Cameron, even though she's going to be busy with Powerpuff on the CW. But,
maybe she'll be busy.
I know she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so technically you would kind of, but like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., notwithstanding, I think she would be a really fun Spider-Gwen. I don't know. There's a bunch of different actors.
That's a good one.
That could work.
That's really good. I think that's really good. I mean, Selby from Falcon and Winter Soldier was also in.
Bless you.
Was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Anyway, we got the first look. Not really a first look, but we got like pictures of the, like, you know when like your parents call you on FaceTime and they hold the phone and you only see like from like the top of their nose to their forehead because they just hold it too close. That's what Oscar Isaac did in front of a bunch of Moon Knight comic photos. And honestly, we labeled it as concept art and I got excited. It's just a bunch of comic photos, but I'll still take it.
Well, there's concept art behind it.
Yeah. Oh, is there?
If you look, there's like, if you look in the gaps, there's concept art with comic stuff on top of it. There's a couple little, it's hard to see.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You need to do some zooming, but it's there.
The comment section blessing me for my sneeze. Thank you all. Thank you all for that. If you're watching us on Twitch, make sure you hit the follow button. If you're listening to us on Facebook, I don't know, do whatever you do on Facebook. Share the show, hit share. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review because you're about to go to school, all right? School is in session, Moon Knight hours. You know what that means, comment section. You know who's about to join the show. Richard, unlock the jail cell, open the gate, and welcome Jim Viscardi to the show.
Wow.
All roads lead back to Jim Viscardi. Always.
You could not live with your own failures.
Always. All roads lead back to Jim. Can we just talk for a second? Just like, there is not enough excitement around that Oscar Isaac Moon Knight photo, and I'm not here for that. Okay,
like because there needs to be seen Oscar Isaac's
eyes
before.
No, I don't care. You're all wrong. Not enough excitement around
the Oscar Isaac. I didn't get a chance to say how excited I am. I was very hyped about that photo. That the collage reminded me of like what I used to do in my bedroom in high school of just like covering it in like Teen Beat posters and stuff. I love it. I think it's like a cool way to tease the show without really teasing anything at the same time.
There's so much in one tiny little photo for us to just really begin to pull up. And honestly, I'm a little shocked because given some of the work that we've done, like, you know, this was something that Adam Barnhart and I, as soon as it came out, just like nitpicked to all hell. And the stuff that we found, I think, has me potentially surprised, where the most recent run of Moon Knight which was done by Max Bemis, introduced a lot of new characters to the mythos, and one of them was the sun god, who was a descendant of who gets his powers from Ra, right? Moon Knight gets his powers from Khonshu, the moon god. We get the sun, we get, you know, sun god and all that. there it is, Brandon. But in a section of the photo that we get is someone something that looks like Ra, and that gets me real excited. And then like there's another part where you see a bunch of other stuff where you literally only get maybe like from under someone's nose and the top of their shoulders or whatever, and it all looks incredibly full of Egyptian mythos, like even so much so that on the left of the image, you get a reverse shot of, I think, what we believe is probably going to be Osiris. Right. And so like there is a lot of really, really cool stuff there. But what we should do is there's also a lot of character reference just from the comics, right? So there's a Becky Cloonan cover is the piece on top. There's a piece, you know, the art is from, I think, Jason Burroughs in the middle, and then obviously some David Finch stuff down in the lower corner. And if that's where they may be taking some of their inspiration from, then catching up on Moon Knight may be a lot easier for some folks than we anticipated. Look, there are three possible costumes that we can get for Moon Knight. We can get the classic all white kind of, you know, look from him. There is, you know, there have been like a number of variations on that are all basically the same thing, so I'm not including them for purposes like this. But then, you know, when Declan Shalvey and Warren Ellis started their run, they brought in another kind of a look for him that it feels a bit more like armor plated. It's way more modernized. And then they obviously also brought in the Mr. Knight persona, right? So Moon Knight is someone who suffers from dissociative identity disorder, and it stems all the way back from when he was a kid. And
there are journalists online who have referred to that as a superpower.
What was that?
Not to just throw shade at somebody on Twitter.
Wow. Okay. So he has dissociative identity disorder that stems all the way back from when he was a kid, where like a really close family friend of his was a rabbi. Mark Spector is a Jewish character, and that rabbi actually was a Nazi on the run and was, you know, ended up trying to kill Jews, and it totally messed with his head. So much so that you know, later when he was adult, you know, the other identities that have kind of spawned up from the regular Mark Spector was Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley. But like the TLDR on how, you know, Mark Spector gets his powers basically is he was in the CIA, he was in a war, beat up pretty badly by a villain by the name of Bushman, and so was basically left for dead and like crawled up onto this statue of Khonshu, and Khonshu was like, "You will be my avatar," and boom, 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 and you know, that's it. He's, you know, basically fighting for this moon god. It's really weird because people are like, "Oh, he was given moon powers," and I'm like, "What? What in the hell are moon powers?" Like, though that he, Mark Spector is lucky in the sense that, well, he comes from money. So he's got a bit of that, where he's like, for all intents and purposes, the biggest joke for Moon Knight for the longest time was basically that he was, you know, bootleg Batman, right? Batman in all white, where he has the money, he's got the cool gadgets, and all that. But I would say is Moon Knight is way more violent than Batman, ever was. Mainly, you know, just like Moon Knight is like basically a mix of like Batman and kind of the Punisher in a sense, right? Where like
he does not have a no kill rule for sure.
No, definitely does not have a no kill rule. But
yo, this comment.
I saw the comment. Go ahead, what? Brandon, answer the question.
Are they? Is Danny the Pug asking me? Which do I hate more out of Moon Knight or the Blacklist? Because those are Jim's two favorite things.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
Is that why?
Yep.
I actually.
But the correct answer is the Blacklist.
The Blacklist is very good.
Oh, no. Oh, but wow. Moon Knight is the cool thing, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
I mean.
So, but hold on a second, because we're going to ignore that question. We're going to tie this all the way back to the conversation that you just had while I was like screaming at my laptop screen about Deadpool, right? We can't be afraid to have R-rated things, okay? Right? We can't be afraid to have something different, you know, for everyone. Now, can Deadpool show up in a PG-13 feature somewhere or somewhere else as Deadpool? Yeah, absolutely. That's where most people interact with Deadpool kind of the most, you know, when they're reading comics or whatever. He's either popping up in other stuff, you know, in X-Men comics or Avengers comics, like whatever. Like, that's fine. You can have that. But I think also at the same time, like, you know, a lot of people like to pin the R-ratedness of Deadpool to language. And like, if that were the case, then like, you know, we wouldn't get we'll never get, you know, Marvel movies that are like, you know, John Wick or, you know, the other big action franchises, where I think that's where people want to see Deadpool go. They want to see him like unleash with his katanas and his guns and all, you know, whatever, and just like slice up bad dudes. And I think to come back to Moon Knight for a second is the kind of, because it's Disney Plus, I don't believe we will get an R-rated Moon Knight kind of thing, but I think we'll get, I think we'll get really, really close. And hopefully what that means is this becomes incredibly popular. Moon Knight gets his own movie and it is an R-rated adventure with Blade and Ghost Rider. And they just are just like slicing up demons all over the place.
But then people can't take their 10-year-olds to see it. I don't know if Kevin Feige is that cool with that.
Even if Kevin Feige is cool with it, I don't know if Disney's cool with it at the end of the day, because I remember when Scott Derrickson got on stage and promised the scary Doctor Strange movie, and Kevin Feige went, and it's PG-13 and you're
Doctor Strange, they're not gonna make, but that's what I mean, though, right? Like, we saw how, you know, how far Disney was willing to push the line with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, we are all not going to forget, you know, the moment where US Agent is just beating the dude down with Cap shield. Like, that is a dark and violent moment. And so,
yeah, but that's not even close to Deadpool violence.
No, but you want to know why? Because they didn't show it.
That's the farthest that we're going to get.
The difference would have been in Deadpool, the camera would have panned down a little bit and you would have seen it.
Yes. But also in this show, that was the villain doing that. Like, Moon Knight would just do that.
They wanted you to make him the hero.
I would love to watch Moon Knight do that on Disney Plus, but like, they would never show Sam Wilson doing it. I mean, Sam Wilson wouldn't do that in the first place, but that's the, you know, that was setting him up to be this villain. And then they did that weird 180 where you were supposed to like him. And that was just a whole issue on in of itself. But, you know, I don't know how far, you know, Disney's willing to go. I think that's why we even have that conversation. I think we'd all love to see more R-rated things. You know, I think that Fox really had a great niche with Deadpool and Logan, because Logan didn't need to be language heavy. It was very, very violent.
I don't really care. Honestly, I just don't really care if a movie's rated R or PG-13 as long as it's good. Like, it just depends on the depends on the, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Like, it's not like they're, I mean, King Chief in the comment section, Logan is the model, period, says King Chief 00. Like, that's a great point. You can have a character that shows up in PG-13 movies and fits the PG-13 mold and then goes and does their own thing, and you can do it on a story by story basis. Some stories need R ratings, some stories don't. Some characters could thrive in that, and some and also be fine in a PG-13. So the rating doesn't determine my interest in the movie. If A Quiet Place Part Two, I'm going to see that tonight. Is it rated R? Is it PG-13? I don't even know. I'm assuming it's R, but I don't even care. Like, I just expect this tense thriller. Rest my case. We don't even know. We don't even know what A Quiet Place Part 2 is rated, and it's in theaters right now. So anyway, no F-bombs for Moon Knight, but, you know, Jim wants to see him team up.
I also just want to see, too, like going back to the Egyptian stuff, too, right? Like, this is another area for the Marvel Universe to get a little weird, right? Like, again, like, this is a thing where, you know, we've seen godlike entities before, right? With, you know, your we'll see them with the Eternals and, you know, with Thor and whatever, but we haven't seen them quite like or more original earthbound based religions, right? We're like, you know, like the ancient Egyptians and things like that, where you know, if that stuff does come into play, like, that's going to open a lot of really interesting doors, and it'll be interesting to see where in the hierarchy of the MCU that, like, this all kind of fits, right? And what they decide to, how powerful they decide to make Moon Knight will also be very interesting, because, again, you know, yes, you know, he is fueled by vengeance, you know, in a way from, you know, from the moon god Khonshu, and is able to tap into certain things, but, like, you know, will they give him super, like, in what way will they give him super strength?
What powers do you want to see Moon Knight have?
I honestly, like, Moon Knight is really cool when you get to see a lot of his, like, gadgets at play, right? Like, he's kind of, like I said, like, that's like the most Batman-esque of it all. But he is a fully combat trained, person. And so, you know, I definitely want to see like fights. Like, look, we've all seen the Instagram videos of Oscar Isaac in training. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see more of that. But like, there were some of those videos where like he's doing some knife play and like straight up just like stabs a guy like in the side of his head. And well, so
you want John Wick, you're going to get it.
That's it. That's what I want.
What's your favorite Moon Knight personality?
But honestly, probably Mark Spector. I just think he's like, he is from which everything else, you know, kind of spawns from. Right.
They haven't indicated what they're doing with the Isaac version, right?
They have not indicated whether
the artwork behind him.
Right. Yeah. They have not indicated any of that stuff yet. But what I would say, for those looking for some reading material, for some research and homework, definitely, obviously check out the most recent, start from the Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey stuff and go all the way to the end. Right. So like start from there, read the Brian Wood stuff, read the Jeff Lemire stuff, read the Max Bemis stuff, and go all the way to the end there. I think that'll give you the best kind of like encapsulation of all the various things that they may do. Then my personal favorite, just because it involves a lot more superhero stuff in it and it's a much shorter run, is Vengeance of Moon Knight, where in like the, you know, the second issue, he's fighting the Sentry basically. And so it's really cool to see how Moon Knight would go up against a Superman like character. It also has early Jerome Opeña artwork in there, which is just phenomenal and fantastic. And then from there, you go back a little bit further. I'm not going to lie. As much as I love the like a lot of the old stuff, some of it's very hard to get through. That first 80s run is a little hard to get through, but has a lot of great art in it. And so like, if you just want to like just quickly flip through it and like just try and get the cliff notes, by all means do that. The Mark Spector stuff, Mark's the second full run, has a lot of ups and downs in it as far as quality goes. But again, that's it was an effort to get Moon Knight more infiltrated into the greater Marvel universe. Now, if you don't want to read outside of the Marvel, outside of the Moon Knight stuff, he spent some time in the West Coast Avengers, which is actually really, really good. There's also a two arc run that Ed Brubaker did where he was part of the Secret Avengers. Also really freaking good stuff. So there's a lot of really great stuff to check out as far as it comes to Moon Knight. But like I said, I'd start with that Declan Shalvey Warren Ellis run, move all the way forward, and then from there go wherever.
Most of that, except for like that brand new series, most of that, if not all of it, should be on Marvel Unlimited, right?
All of it is on Marvel Unlimited.
Okay, cool. Yep. I just started doing that like a couple months ago, so that's where I've been going to for this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
this knowledge is free, people. You're getting taken to school on Phase Zero for free. We're the best show ever. Great job, Jim. Thanks for Jim has been waiting for that. Did you guys see that? That was like shaking a champagne bottle like for a week straight and then popping the cork. And all that information was the champagne erupting from the bottle. Good job, Jim. Thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break. Jim, are you going to be with us when we get back? We got a couple more things. And I demand
it depends if you guys
that we let Aaron talk more.
I have to stay.
Listen, I demand that in the second half of this show, we let Aaron speak more. I want to hear more from Aaron. Yes. So we'll be right back. Jim, if your box is there, you're there. If you're not, you're not. I don't know. It's up to Richard now. See y'all in a minute.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, we are right back on Phase Zero, episode 20 rolls on. I'm your host, Brandon Davis, joined by Charlie Ridgely, Jenna Anderson, Aaron Perrine, and Jim Viscardi is still on the show. The jail cell remains open.
Booyah.
And the section goes wild. All right, we got a little bit more news before we talk about the Eternals trailer. So let's do that. Danai Gurira, she's going to appear in the Wakanda show on Disney Plus, and it's an origin story. That's about as much as I know on this one. Was there any more information about that? Did I miss anything?
No, because it was like hidden in like a thing about a lawyer deal,
huh?
Right? Or yes. Was that a different thing? Okay, there was a bunch of stuff that we learned from like a write up of lawyers in Hollywood, mm-hmm. And it was very little information.
Just give her the show. Just give it to her.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I'm here. I demanded Aaron speak more in the second half of the show. Everybody, let Aaron have some words.
I just thought it was interesting that it was just like hidden down there. But I just assumed we were going to see her. You know, I thought that the Dora showing up in Falcon Winter Soldier was just priming us for the whatever they end up calling this Wakanda show. You know, or is it World of Wakanda?
I think so.
Is
yeah.
The name of it. Yeah.
World of Wakanda.
I didn't want to get it wrong. But yeah, like I'm excited to see whatever they cook up. And, you know, it could just be them beating up John Walker for six episodes. And I'm like, cool, let's do that.
They don't have like a release window for this show yet, right? We don't really.
Well, Marvel hadn't even said anything about this. This is like Marvel said this. This is like one of the ones that's just been talked about for so long that
this is like one of those things where like, you know, Marvel posted that photo of Oscar Isaac and it's like Oscar Isaac finally confirms he's like Moon Knight, and it's like, what do you mean he's been filming for 3 months? This is another one of those things where it's like a project that is in, you know, in early stages of production, I would imagine, and then, you know, it's not official until we get a tweet from Marvel, even though we'll see it I'm sure beforehand.
See, I always get these weird comments and like tweet notifications that make me freak out, and they end up being nothing. Like this dude in the comment section right now on YouTube, Spider-Man No Way Home will have Rhino, Lizard, Sandman, Doc Ock, Green Goblin, and Electro. And I know that comment is probably not accurate, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't go check Twitter just to make sure, because Spider-Man No Way Home comments like that turn out to be true. Well played, Brendan. Thank you for watching and commenting. We love engagement on this show. All right.
I will say before you move on from that, Disney Plus is the time when we actually might get to see a White Wolf, like for real. And so like maybe not World of Wakanda because it's an origin story, but Black Panther 2 with the legacy, you know, Wakanda Forever, like that's not the place for a White Wolf story. Initially, I kind of wanted Bucky to be like the villain of that show, but now he's going a whole different direction. That's not that movie way back when. This is clearly not the time for him now with what they're going to do, you know, building out that world and honoring the legacy of T'Challa and all that stuff. But if we're doing Disney Plus shows set there, that's the time when I think you can like put him kind of at odds with something. You know, if you want to hunt John Walker and you want to, you know, Bucky wants to help out just because he hates him, let him in there. Let him be the White Wolf.
Mm-hmm. See, I've just seen the series as like an anthology. Like I've just kind of expected it to be a thing where like each episode would tell its own story. So if it is the entire season is just Okoye's mm-hmm. origin story, then that would be cool too. But mm-hmm. I was just kind of assuming like it would just be an episode, and then the next episode would be like King T'Chaka or like a Black Panther from like forever ago, or just some sort of different story, kind of like the way that What If is, where every episode is its own thing.
Well, there was also go for it, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, having each episode be an individual Aesop or, like, a proverb or a story about the larger Marvel universe with different characters from the Black Panther mythos is, like, a really effective device. I think that would be freaking awesome.
And you can do stuff with the ancestors, too, like, telling the stories. You know, like, you could, like, T'Chaka can, like, be a storyteller on the show.
There was a series not too long ago, I think it was Rise of the Black Panther, that Evan Narcisi did. The guy, he was one of the, he's a writer for Kotaku, but has gone and done a bunch of other things, consulted on the Spider-Man PS4 game and all, or you know, the Spider-Man game and all that jazz. And that it really sets up a nice foundation for what Disney Plus can do with a show like this, in that it really touches on the various aspects of just like Wakanda and how it has gotten to where it is and what it means for the world and all that I think this would be really They'd be smart to pull from that as
the
well.
The only thing about, that I'm interested in seeing how they work it, or like, I don't want to say worried, but like, how do you tell Okoye's origin story without T'Challa and without involving T'Challa in some kind of like substantial way? Mm. You know,
I think there's
a sequel movie. He's, you know, there are ways. I'm interested to see how they go about that, because that's mm-hmm. He's such a key cog in the entire Wakanda wheel mm-hmm. leading up to Black Panther. And so it'll be interesting to see how they work around. If he's a kid, then it's one thing. If he's a teenager, it's one thing, you know, but if adult T'Challa, like how you kind of work that in and work with that story.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of T'Challa, Howard University, this is really cool. Renamed their College of Fine Arts. It is now the Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts. Chadwick was a proud graduate of Howard University and has done a lot to represent that school and obviously made them very proud. And in honor of the actor who has passed away, they have renamed their school, and you can attend the Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts, which I think is just such an awesome move by the school. And, you know, that's a school that's obviously going to shape a lot of people's lives. There are some really big, notable.
Felicia Rashad's the head of that department right now, correct?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she had a big hand in renaming the like that building and school and stuff.
I mean, I just typed in Howard University alumni, and these are some of the. And this is just according to Google, so if I'm wrong on any of these, I apologize. But these are some of the names that come up: Taraji P. Henson, Felicia Rashad, Kamala Harris, Sean Combs. I mean, this school produces winners. Wow. I mean, the list goes on. Thurgood Marshall, who, wow.
Chadwick
Boseman mm-hmm. went on to play. That's mm-hmm. that's wild. Wow. Well, yeah, the awesome move by Howard University to introduce the Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts. The first tweet from Chadwick Boseman's account since it announced his passing was to celebrate this and share this news. So that's cool. And now we're going to just try to pick the mood back up. And one more bit of news before we talk about the Eternals trailer. Christopher McDonald cast in Marvel's Secret Invasion show. Everybody's like, oh, is he Norman Osborn? Because it's like a.
Look, that was a thing Jenna tossed out there. And I freaking love it. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I was coming prepared with my Norman Osborn theory. Because first of all, if you aren't watching Hacks, which he is currently on HBO Max, you need to be watching that. That is like one of my favorite shows that is currently on right now. And he is absolutely great. And it's just, I was thinking about it because the article about his casting said he's playing a character who could potentially go on to other movies and shows. And so part of me was like, if he's just a Skrull villain, I don't know how many more projects that could necessitate him cameoing in. But if he were to say like a Skrull that took over Norman Osborn and then became the villain of the show, then that could be something that people wouldn't be expecting. Because the way that Secret Invasion is in the comics is like you need those big cameos. You need weird things that kind of tie in the larger Marvel universe and aren't just tied to S.W.O.R.D. And so I think if you threw in Norman Osborn and had it be like, oh, I'm secretly the ruler of the Skrull, that would be a very weird thing that people would be in for.
My only question I love the way that story comes together. And I think you do like Secret Invasion is such a sprawling story in comics that it's going to need to have that feeling in order to truly introduce that paranoia that comes with a Skrull invasion. The question is like, can Marvel put Norman Osborn on a Disney Plus show? Like, is that a Sony character that,
I'm sure there are deals they can work. They would work out.
I mean,
because Sony's not going to make a Green Goblin movie without having the access to Spider-Man. I mean, we said that about Venom. So who knows?
Yeah, but. I mean that's where I think there is the loophole. Norman Osborn is such an integral Spider-Man character, and you know they have Spider-Man in the MCU that I think this is a place where that door is kept open, a crack where you know Marvel's going to want to play with a character like Norman Osborn, and so you know they may, you know, it may be a thing that he just kind of goes back to Sony land and you know in part of like future Spider-Man movies that Marvel helps produce or whatever, but like there's definitely bound to be some back and forth there that I think.
And for all we know, he could have been in the deal when they worked out Spider-Man. Like,
exactly,
it could have been like whatever happens, like, we are going to end up using Norman, and that has to be part of this. Like,
yeah, I know there was a rumor like years ago that they were developing a Dark Avengers movie, or like considering that as a possibility. And like, since he leads that team, I feel like that might also be on the playing, like on the table somehow in some capacity of like, oh, Norman could exist in the MCU and also still be used for Spider-Man stuff. But then he could also run the Dark Avengers at the same time.
It would be really funny if we all were focusing on the Young Avengers developing the background, and then all the Dark Avengers slowly just kind of moved into frame over time. Exactly. We never even thought about it. I know, Jim, I know you want Thunderbolts instead.
Yeah. Why not all three?
I think that we're going to get New Avengers, Young Avengers, Dark Avengers, Secret Avengers. I think that's the future of the Avengers title for like franchise for the next like 10 years, personally. Yeah.
But the crazy thing is how big of a catastrophe does there need to be for you to get the Dark Avengers, right? Like, the Dark Avengers spawned out of Norman Osborn being the quote hero of Secret Invasion by gunning down the Skrull Queen. And so, like, you know, I mean, talk about some real world parallel type stuff, in the sense that, like, you're going to get, you know, Norman Osborn, who is a legitimate psychopath, you know, rising to power to put together his own Avengers team. But like, it took a giant alien invasion that, you know, the entirety of the Marvel Universe had to come together and do for that to happen. And so, like, we already had Endgame, which was massive in and of itself. We have whatever is so big that we're going to talk about in a second with Eternals, that the Eternals now have to step in and help. That, like, yeah, everything that we've heard about Secret Invasion and how the Skrulls and all that stuff may be playing out, I think it's still, we still only maybe have a sliver of that information. But like, if they go big on this, like, boom, I'm in. Let's go.
I think that Mysterio has laid the groundwork for how that would play out in MCU. Yeah. Where if you broadcast it and tilt it a certain kind of way, the people, there were no flying cameras in that field in New York while Thanos was laying, like, there were all this giant struggle going on. But if there are cameras next time, as we've seen with, you know, what happened with US Agent and stuff, it would travel and you could spin it differently, you know? Yeah. I think that might be how it ends up. But I, like you said, we still don't know what that big moment of someone catching it and broadcasting it and J. Jonah Jameson yelling about it on the side of a building is going to look like, you know?
Yep.
Well, and that's the thing. I have one like thing I want to say about Chris McDonald, but I'll be shocked if J.K. Simmons is not in Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm. If J. Jonah Jameson is not somehow involved. They've really set up, because the Skrulls we know so far in the MCU are good guys. You know, there's going to be other kinds of Skrulls. There's going to be, you know, the invasion, the way that the modern world works and the way that modern media works and the world that we're in now. J. Jonah Jameson's kind of character is perfectly set up to spin news and do different things. And I think we're going to see this, like, this really Cold War situation of, like, people are going to know about Skrulls and think they're super dangerous and not know who it is and who it isn't and be afraid of their neighbors. And there's going to be a whole uproar of stuff. And J. Jonah Jameson plays directly into that. And that leads to I just want to throw this theory out there so that when it happens, I can be correct and everyone can have it on record. I think Christopher McDonald is playing Christopher McDonald. He's playing the actor Christopher McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore. And he's going to be running for president in the MCU in the time of Secret Invasion. But he's actually, there's a Skrull that's taken over him. There's the real Christopher McDonald is hidden or dead or whatever. And Christopher McDonald, the celebrity, has become a politician, and he is going to be this is the end version of Christopher McDonald, where he's just kind of a turd, but everyone likes him. And he's just a career politician type of guy.
Wow.
And that's how we're going to see Christopher McDonald in the MCU, but he's really going to be the Skrull that's like trying to change laws and stuff and do all that from the inside. So just want to put that on record.
Well, that's on record. You can't take that back. So it's on record, everybody. I did want to say something that was, while you all were discussing that, I've discovered something. On Colliders, the Snyder Cut podcast, Jeff Snyder said, take this with a grain of salt, but he heard that Sandman, Rhino, and Lizard are all going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home. He doesn't know if Paul Giamatti or Thomas Hayden Church have been seen on set or anything. But his understanding is that they're all back and playing those characters for the Sinister Six. So
everything that I've heard about No Way Home is that like the characters or whatever that are rumored all have varying levels of involvement, and that most of them will probably just be passing montage kind of things, and like that's it. So like, oh yeah, they're in the movie, but like it could just be some old footage.
I mean, I heard another one, Jim.
Like Crisis of Infinite Earths type of situation where they're oh, planet.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like a crisis scenario. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, that would be kind of a
bummer. I would like that so much more than any other fear I've had of what this is.
Oh, see, Brandon just said he thinks it would be a bummer.
I mean, I don't want all of these characters to have key roles and take up screen time because you can't share screen time equally at that point. But just really quickly, little flashing by, I kind of want more than that. I like if you're.
I mean, one or two of them are going to be important, I think.
But like, the only thing that matters about including any of these characters is the fact that okay, the multiverse exists, and like if down the road they want this thing to be a thing, they could do it. Like you don't need to pull them all in now. Just like show a like I said, just crack the door open and let us know it. Like on paper, show it's as possible, and because that's something that they have not done. It's going to be Dr.
Strange showing Peter.
Yeah. Right.
The different versions of who he could become and the different versions of his life that he could have gone through. Like that's going to be what I feel like is the hitch of it all. You know,
it's on record.
I mean, that makes so much more sense than the other one.
Yes. I'm just, yeah. I think, but I am also so reluctant. Like I know a lot of the people in our comment section are to accept any multiverse actually happening because we've been baited too many times, and until I actually see an actor or a character like from a different universe in a film or TV show, like whether I don't care, like a Tony Stark who never becomes Iron Man or John Krasinski as Captain America or literally anything else that shows that it's from another universe, I'm not believing it. I know it's coming. Why I mean, don't
put it
I don't
in
know.
The title of a
I
movie.
Don't care.
I can't. Never mind. It's like, oh, Brandon froze on the most awkward.
That was a stare because I just do it. Anyway, do it. Eternals trailer. It dropped the big question on Twitter. This was my first thought when I heard of the Eternals. This movie spans thousands of years, which includes all sorts of events, including Thanos snapping away half of the life in the universe. The Eternals were not there. Everybody's like, where are they in the trailer? Ajax says, we have watched. We have never interfered until now. So I guess that's your excuse. We just watch. We don't interfere, even if it means getting half of the universe erased. I think, personally, As I think if you don't know about the Eternals, you should go back and listen to our episode 18, which is our Eternals episode where everybody did a really great job of explaining kind of stories and characters and things that have happened in the Eternals lore in comics, one of which was the Eternals had their memories erased. I personally think the Eternals had their memories erased. They thought they were humans, and that is why they did not show up for the battle against Thanos. And maybe, just maybe, this snapping of half of the universe prompted some of them to start to feel those memories again and realize they are, in fact, Eternal.
Or maybe prompted a threat that was bigger than Thanos in snapping or whatever called the Celestials, right? Like the Celestial, these are gigantic beings that go, you know, from planet to planet or whatever kind of thing, right? Like one of the Celestials' name is Arishem the Judger. Like he literally
do you think
thumbs up and thumbs downs whether or not civilizations live or not.
Yes, and so, that's why they're sent to Earth.
Right. And so maybe that's probably a big enough deal for the Eternals to get off the couch.
Well, sure, yes. But like, so why were, but again, that doesn't answer the question of why they let half the universe get erased.
Because it wasn't their job.
Two weeks ago,
2 weeks ago when I talked about it, do you remember what happened to Gilgamesh when they found out that he helped people? Gilgamesh was imprisoned for centuries. He was left to live in isolation by the rest of his people for centuries because he helped human beings. I'm not saying it's right, but like that's a thing that's been established in Eternals lore.
That's fine.
Interference is not allowed.
That's even if you don't like the answer, at least it's an answer. That's my take. And I obviously don't want the trailer to explain it to me. I want to find out in the movie. I just hope they have to address it.
Yes. Thanos snap happened, right? But like, did humanity perish? No. People still went.
The Eternals would also die. And is Xerxes or Athena? One of them is literally Thanos' cousin.
Yeah, Athena.
Athena is Thanos' cousin. They would know about this.
Maybe that dialogue in the thing is referring to the Thanos situation. Maybe it's referring to something that happened before the Thanos situation.
Like, maybe the Thanos situation is the reason the Celestials are coming to Earth.
So much time. Maybe Thanos is
in the movie. If you remember the first episode of Phase Zero, Thanos creator Jim Starlin said that he heard Thanos was in the movie.
So, I'm just saying, like, this is a story that we know spans thousands and thousands of years. So that dialogue, even though it's set to footage of 2023 or whenever the MCU currently takes place, like, it could have been from 2018. It could have been from 1818. It could have been from any point in time in history that dialogue is coming from.
MJG 3000 said, like, Thena, get your cousin.
I'll tell you two things though that I'm not here for. I'm not here for that stupid flat cardboard ship.
Aaron has thoughts on that.
Let's hear it, because
I just saw a bunch of people arguing about it on Twitter, like that, like, you know, because you know how Kirby's art looks. It's like maximalism, like on steroids. And then we get this very flat slab, rectangular, looks like an iPhone rendering of a corner.
It's like a piece of cheese.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get, like, you know, it's funny that we're having these discussions about this stuff in Phase 4 of the MCU, and about, like, things looking comic accurate or not being afraid of the source material and stuff like that. And I sort of err on the side of, I do like all that Kirby stuff because it's bonkers. Like, if you want to spend a fun afternoon, just go on either Tumblr or like any social media and just search Jack Kirby, and you will find the most wacky, amazing artwork from both, like, you know, Marvel and other publishers. But I don't know how they would do, like, I don't know how audiences would react to how that ship was supposed to look, because the design was amazing. It looked like something that was besieging a village in a Miyazaki movie.
I think part of the problem is that after Thor Ragnarok, and based off of what we've seen from Thor Love and Thunder, it's like, we do know that you can adapt Kirby stuff and it can look realistic in the MCU. And so it's like, to have this now, like, nice quartz countertop of a ship as opposed to, like, the actual Kirby design, I feel like there is a way that they could have made it more comic accurate, but I also understand the justification for not doing it. So,
yeah. Well, cause you think about the tone of stuff. Like, you know, we talked about this a little bit before the show, of like, it works so well in Ragnarok, and not only because Ragnarok's a comedy, but just the overall style of Ragnarok is a lighter, you know, more adventure, like, swashbuckling comes to mind, even though there's no pirates in this. That's just, like, that's a word that comes to mind with that kind of tone. Like, Eternals is this, like, saga type of thing, you know, where it just doesn't, I don't know how well the Kirby style fits with the story that it seems like Chloe Zhao is telling with Eternals. You could have done a Taika Waititi Eternals or a James Gunn type of Eternals and done full Jack Kirby style, and it'd been just like this fun sword like thing. But I think that the Chloe Zhao version is a very different kind of story that doesn't lend itself as well to Jack Kirby stuff. As awesome as Jack Kirby art looks, I don't know if it fits with this specific type of movie.
Mm-hmm. We will see if that pays off when the movie comes out. I don't know.
At least when we get an actual trailer, I think everyone expected a whole lot more. Marvel labeled this as a teaser. Granted, it was a 2.5 minute teaser, but the teaser
that was watched 77 million times in 24 hours.
And you saw how it, like, came out of, like, the clouds and stuff. That could have been, like, one piece of a giant ship. Like, that could have been the big toe of a Celestial.
Look,
like,
we got a tease of the Unimind happening. That's all I needed. Yeah. That's it. I'm in.
Yep.
Everyone else needs to calm the hell down.
I mean, listen, I understand the hesitancy to get excited after that trailer. I just, like, you're it. If you don't know who Chloe Zhao is, which I think
large part of people probably don't. Yeah,
a lot of people don't, and if you don't know who the Eternals are, which is probably even more people, this trailer was just kind of like, well, here's a bunch of stuff that you don't know when it is, why it is, what it is. It's just a big floating black triangle that just appears, and I think we need more trailers to showed you they committed to the Chloe Zhao style, which I think is a very good thing. Nomadland is a great film. We'll see how that translates to Marvel when you're applying it to Jack Kirby characters and settings. Anyway, there was one other thing I want to talk about. Jenna wanted to take the lead on this one. Black Knight, Kit Harington. We saw him in the trailer.
Just enough snippets of Black Knight. I really wanted more, but again, I do think like a second trailer could really lean into the story aspect of it a little bit more. Because even like outside of introducing the Eternals, the idea of introducing Black Knight is its own can of worms in and of itself, as we established 2 weeks ago. But like they did just enough in there that I found really interesting. Of like, there's the one shot of like an older version of Black Knight just kind of like mowing down people in a village. So I think that's kind of cool. And then Charlie pointed out to me that there is a shot of like the Black Knight armor in a scene with Makari at one point in the trailer. And so I think they are really leaning into the legacy aspect of Black Knight. Like, I would not be surprised if the Eternals have some sort of familiarity with the previous incarnations. And then Dane Whitman shows up and it's like, oh, hey, we know your uncle and your great, great, great grandfather and all of these other people. And so that's why we can trust you a little bit more. And so I think that's going to be really interesting to see how they kind of approach that legacy aspect while also doing all of the Eternals lore at the same time.
They don't trust him initially because they know his ancestor, because he's supposed to be the first good one.
Exactly. Right? All of the previous incarnations are much more evil. And so that could be part of his arc as well, of like proving like, I am actually a good guy. Like, don't worry. But yeah,
do you think it will play all of them?
I don't know. I feel like they could just do like actual different actors and make it more of a like, especially with his uncle. It's like you can't have him playing his uncle. That would be kind of weird. But like even the really, really old medieval version, he could maybe play, because in the comics, he kind of like gets yeeted back into time and then becomes his ancestor. And there's all of this weirdness going on there. So they could just have him play both, but they also could just bring in different actors if they wanted.
And they might just keep a helmet on him the whole time.
I just want to see him in a bomber jacket. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't think we get Black Knight until Eternals 2. I think really? I think it's a post-credit scene at best. Like
he gets the sword.
Dane Black Knight. Like, because I think it'll show Black Knight.
Kit Harington is Dane Whitman throughout the movie.
I could see it in like the third act, maybe. Like he gets the costume in the third act, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I think it'll be very similar. My prediction is it'll be like the Wasp. Like, we all know that his character becomes this other hero. Will we see it in this movie? And then we don't.
I just wonder if this movie may potentially, like with that character, potentially has any connection with Thor 3 coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Like just in what we know. Thor. Thor 4, right? Sorry, Thor 4.
we all skip Dark World.
Yeah. But you know, just some of the origins of the sword and all that jazz. That I think, you know, there may be some stuff there.
Jim, do you know how many fans you just lost in the comments?
That's all right.
Also, the comment section is just shook by those set photos of Chris Hemsworth in a sweatband. So I feel like we need to acknowledge those in some way, because everybody was shook.
Did you see those guns?
Have a big debate over Thor skipping leg day. I saw Falcon's Nat and MJG 3000 going at it. One said Thor skips leg day. The other said Thor skips no days. I don't know. I did like the post where I did like the caption on Chris Hemsworth's post about his kid. Said he wanted to be Superman when he grows up, and then Chris was like, well, luckily I have two other kids. You know what? Imagine your kid being like, yeah, my favorite superhero is not you.
Anyway. It's the other guy in Hollywood with the big arms.
Yeah.
The other guy. That's all. That's like all franchise Hollywood now. Anyway, that's Phase 0, episode 20. If you want an Eternals refresher or just first time knowledge bombs, head over to episode 18 of Phase Zero on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening. And we did a full breakdown of all the Eternals characters. It was one of my favorite episodes of the show. And we got a lot of great feedback from all the listeners, too. So I appreciate that. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you share it with your friends. Follow us on Twitch. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple. If you have requests, send those our way to the social channels, which we are about to shamelessly plug of ourselves so that we can communicate and plan future shows. We have Loki stuff coming. Maybe we'll move the show to Wednesday. Jim, we have to have a meeting about that. And we'll figure it all out. Charlie, where can we find you?
At Charlie Ridgely. You can. I don't know how to do directions on. There you go. Right there. At Charlie Ridgely.
At Charlie Ridgely. Boom. Aaron, where can we find you?
At some of the corner down here.
That's how you do it.
See, Aaron got it first try.
Jenna, where can we find you?
At Hey, it's Jenna Lynn. I promise I will do my Funko tour that I teased last week. That is coming soon. I just need to work out logistics and when I'm not super busy. So it will be happening.
I am here for that. Jim, we don't care.
That's wow. No, hold on. I'm going to say, you didn't say, like, look, if you like this show and if you like what we're doing and you get an immense amount of value for it, look, the best way to help this show out, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, tell everyone you love Jim and hate BD,
I was really ready to hear, if you like this show, we do Pokemon on Mondays.
Leaving reviews is the best way to help the show. So by all means, please go do that. Go do it right now. Like pause and go do it and then come back and listen to like the last 20 seconds of the show.
I know you all have an iPhone. Go leave us a 5-star review. That's it. All right, everybody. That's the show. At Jim Viscardi on all the channels. He's a wealth of knowledge. As you saw today on Moon Knight. So hit him up anytime. And you can find me at Brandon Davis BD. Hope y'all subscribe, share our show with your friends. We will possibly be moving to Wednesdays. That won't start next week. We'll be back on Friday next week. So see you there.